Well, it's the last day of the Shloshes Me'agbala. The middle, tomorrow already is Erev Shavuos. Shavuos is certainly in the air. And I'd like to talk about a very, very important point that relates to Shavuos, that relates to Kabbalah, the Torah, that relates to us having the Torah as Jews. Imagine for a moment you were lost in a foreign country. Imagine you were lost in a place that you had no familiarity, you had no idea where to go, you had no idea where to get your next meal, where to find your lodging, you didn't know the language, you were totally lost in this foreign country. What would be the most helpful thing you could possibly get at that time?
A map
is good. A friend is good. A cell phone is good. I'm going to talk in a few minutes about Siri. Siri, you ask your friend Siri, hey Siri, you know, where do I get a piece of pizza, a kosher piece of pizza, Siri? Where do I get a rent-a-car, Siri? Where do I get, I need to check the scores. How do I find a place that I check the scores? I both say, we're talking about getting the Torah and Shavuos. We talk about much, much more than that. We're all lost. We all come to a world. It's a very foreign place. We want to figure out, how do I get around here? How do I know where to go? How do I find the next move? How do I figure out what my next step should be? And the Torah, Rabosai, is our guide, and it's our GPS, and it's our Siri, Lahavdil, and it's so much more than all of that. There's a tremendous Me'iri. I found this in the Sefer HaLekach HaLibov. He quotes a beautiful Me'iri. The Me'iri describes how we know that when a convert, when a ger comes to convert to Yiddishkeit, to Judaism, so the Gemara says, we tell him Nixas mitzvos kalos v'chamuros. We tell him some harder mitzvos, seemingly. You know, there's something called Taras HaMishpacha. There's something called Shabbos. Not so easy. 24 hours. No electronics, no devices, no nothing. Separation, disconnect. That's hard. And then we tell us some easy things, the Gemara says. Some lighter things. Not such challenging parts of Torah and mitzvahs. You know, before you eat, you gotta make a bracha. That's so hard. I like to eat. We tell them, on Yontif, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. Gotta have good meat on Yontif. Hey, carnivore, good meat. Donnie. Yeah, good meat. I have to have good meat on Yontif. I can deal with that. Meat? No problem. Chicken? Good. I got this. No problem. We tell him light things also. Asks the Me'iri, why are we telling him light things, easy things? I understand hard things. Let's see if he's committed. Let's see if he wants it. But easy, light things, why is that? Says the Me'iri the following beautiful idea. You know what the idea is? When a ger comes to convert, we don't want him to convert necessarily. We want him to understand what's involved. So we tell him the challenging things, and we also tell him the light things. Why is that? He's going to say, light things like this. Why? You're getting busy about leaving a room in the middle of a bracha. Do you have to make a bracha again? Not make a bracha again? Come on. You're getting excited about if you don't sleep at night, you have to make a bracha story again in the morning and not. Details like that. What are you? You're such a people of details and minutiae and small details. Does that really matter? Or to be a little sharper, does God really care about the smallest, finest details about a person's life? And the goal of telling him these kalos, says the Me'iri, is, you know why? They'll scare him off. They'll say they're so fine-tuned, these people. They have such minutiae. It's not for me. Ridiculous. It's crazy. He quotes here a beautiful understanding according to this. What do you see from that, Rabosai? You see that the fine, easier, quote-unquote, parts of Yiddishkeit are what define us as Jews. And that's what's going to scare them away. He tells over a beautiful story that took place many, many years ago. He heard it at a Torah Masorah convention. There was this story happened in the boondocks. Where are the boondocks exactly? In the middle of nowhere, like these cities in the middle of nowhere. So far-flung city, somewhere in, I don't know, let's say it was in Kansas City, let's say. How many Jews are living in Kansas? Not so many. In Kansas City, Let's say there's a mother who sent her kid to the only religious yeshiva in Kansas City. And a lot of times in the out-of-town schools, you have rabbein that are very, very religious. And they were teaching the kid in first grade halacha. And the kid comes to school. And in first grade, the rabbi says, and by the way, listen, when you get dressed in the morning, first you put on your right shoe. Don't tie it. Put on your left shoe. Tie it. Then you tie your right shoe. Kid comes home to his mom and says, Mom, you're not going to believe what I heard today. In yeshiva, I learned that this is how you tie your shoes in the morning. First, put on the right. Don't tie it. Put on the left. Tie it. Put on the right. The mother said, that's absolutely ridiculous. That is just absolutely crazy. That's nuts. The mother yanked the kid out of the yeshiva and put him into public school. Didn't take him too long to become a regular CG, cool guy in public school. And things were chilling along the way in public school. And they chilled a little bit too much. And unfortunately, he grew up. Elementary school, high school, college. Got to get married to a non-Jewish woman. The day before his wedding, he sits down on his bed. And he begins to tie his shoes. And he recalls his first grade experience. And he says, am I crazy? I'm going to give up everything. I'm going to marry a woman who's not Jewish and basically have children that are not Jewish now. A people that has such fine-tuned detail in their life. A people that every minutia, every small thing is measured and weighed and valuable and important. I'm going to give that up. And he just canceled his wedding. True story. Canceled the wedding. Went back to find more about Yiddishkeit, and like we say, the rest is history. I'm not even sure exactly how the history doesn't say in this book exactly what happened in the history of the story. What's the message? What's the vart? What's the yisod? Opposed to, we think of Torah. What's Torah? Torah's Torah. There's so many things to Torah. There's Bekiyas, there's Be'iyun, there's Halacha, there's Hashkafa. Torah, Bosai, is a way of life. Torah has an address, has an answer to every single aspect of our lives. I wake up in the morning. What do I do first thing? I say, Modani. Then what? I wash Negelvasa. Then what? Then I put on my tzitzis. I have a whole way that I get dressed. When it comes time to daven, how do I daven? What do I do? How do I pray? I look in Shulchan Aruch. It tells me how I daven. I finish davening. It's time for breakfast. How do I eat? A bracha rishona, a bracha achrona. Okay, I finished breakfast. Now what? Well, now I'm in yeshiva. I go to learn. Wonderful. I'm out of yeshiva. I go to work. How do I run my business? There's a big Shulchan Aruch in this room. You see the Shulchan Aruch, guys? In the middle, there's three big volumes right over here. Fat volumes. Look at this. Look at this. This is called Choshen Mishpat. Know what that means? It means when a person goes to work, when a Jewish person goes to work, he has halachos. How many? A lot. This is all about what you do in the office. This is all about, it's a deal. I got to make money. On the other hand, I'm overcharging. On the other hand, it's my pikineva, gazela. How do I deal with these matters? How do I, real estate. I don't know real estate. Buying property, selling property. There's an address. That's called Torah. Abosai, Siri, I don't know. I was driving to Afula last Thursday with my brother and my father, Shlita, and my sister-in-law, and my nieces, my other niece, whatever. And they asked Siri a question. They wanted to find a certain tzomet in Afula. So they said, Siri, how do you get to tzomet kfir in Afula? Siri had no idea. They were making fun of Siri. They were laughing at her. Should I look it up on the web? Should I search the web? And she comes up with something that's totally irrelevant to the topic at hand. Lahavdil elef alfei havdalos, to distinguish between kodesh and chol. Rabosai, there's nothing in the entire world that's not in the Torah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the last Mishnah in the fifth parak Pirkei Avos, hafoch ba, which means Ben Bagbag, right? Everyone knows from Shweki. It's beside before side Shweki. It's also a mission in Pergamos. Look in it, turn it over. Everything is in it. Everything is in it. The Gemara says in Pesachim that Rabbi Yosef, when Shavuos would come around, he would say to his family, "Please make me the finest meat, Igla Tilsa, the best of the best, the finest cut meat in honor of this day." Do you know why? Says the Gemara. Because, says the Gemara, Ilav Hayoma Dekagar, were not for Shavuos, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. How many regular quote unquote Joes would there be in the marketplace? What's the difference between me and them? His name is Joe and my name is Joe. What's the difference between that Sam and this Sam? The answer is, Rashi explains. You know what happened on that day? Lamadati Torah, I learned Torah, Vinisra Mamti, and I was elevated. I both say a Jew who has Torah in his life, who understands that every single thing he does in his life, there is an address for. There's a halacha for. There's a mahalach for. There's a hashkafa about. There's nothing, no stone in the entire world is untouched. You come and we land on a place, and I don't know what to do. Where do I go? There's no such thing. I always have an address. I always have an answer. I always have a response. I could be in the middle of Timbuktu. I know exactly what I have to do. I know exactly what I have to say. I know exactly what I have to do. I know what my mission is in life. This is what the Torah does for us. So Rav Yosef, when Shavuos came around, we understand exactly why you have to go ahead and have this Igla Tilsa, because Shavuos is that day that everything in the world came to us. Chaznish writes in one place, "I don't do anything in the entire day without consulting with the four Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch. Nothing that I do." On the one hand, that seems a little bit overbearing. I can't move an inch. On the other hand, I would say it's liberating. It's emancipating. It says, you know what? Everything that I do has meaning. Everything that I do is important. Every single thing that I'm not sure about, I have an address to look into and to find out about. And this, Abosai, is the Torah. So when Shavuos is literally knocking at the door, and we're trying to figure out, what are we getting? What are we getting on Shavuos? So we can look down on our iPhones, and we can ask Siri, "Hey Siri, what's Shavuos? What did I get on Shavuos?" And Siri will say, "Ah, let me search the web." And then she'll find on the web, "Ah, Shavuos. It's a holiday that the Jews," if she finds it, "Do you mean Shavuot?" "Okay, fine, whatever." And then she'll say, "It's a holiday that the Jews celebrate after Passover, and they got the Torah." "Well, what's the Torah?" "Oh, I don't know. Siri can't know. Even with the best programming possible by whatever, iPhones, by Apple, Siri can never know what Torah is. Torah is not shayach to be described by Siri. Torah is something that's just above and beyond everything. And when we think about that, as Shavuos comes around, we realize, you know what? Everything is here. We have it all. We landed in a foreign land called Earth, planet. I'm not sure what to do. And the Torah says, I got exactly the right direction for you to take, the right path for you to go. This is what we have on Shavuos. We should be zocher Abosai to embrace the Torah, to look for everything in the Torah, and to please God, like Rabbi Yosef, to be elevated, to be misromanti, to be people that are elevated through the Torah. And I close the following last remark. This is beautiful. One of my neighbors last night told me this, and we'll end with this. You go to a wedding. On the bride's side, it's very clear to see who the bride is. Who's the bride? She's wearing white. You go to the groom's side. Who's the groom? I don't know. If the groom has a lot of friends, it could be that guy. It could be that guy. Maybe it's him. I don't know who it is. How do you know who it is? So one great person once said, you know how you know who it is? The person that walks home with the bride at the end of the wedding, he's the groom. When Shavuos is over, we know exactly who the Torah is. Torah is the Kala. Who's the Chasan? Who is the groom of the Torah? The answer is the person that takes the Torah with him and lives in the Torah the entire year long after Shavuos is over and carries the Torah and embraces the Torah and learns the Torah, lives with the Torah, he is the groom of the Torah. Let us all be zocher to be the groom. Have a wonderful Yom Tov.